This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This is Mraz. Today's show was fuller than me after an NFL Sunday. Enjoy the takes and laughs in the best of the DA show.
Darnold said yesterday that when he was drafted by the Jets, getting drafted that high, his expectations were 20 years with the team and multiple Super Bowl championships. Now, knowing today's NFL and knowing the New York Jets organization, the first question is, was that even a realistic opportunity or possibility, or right from the jump, did Sam Darnold have it wrong? It is where we begin, your cold open.
My expectations were to go in there, play 20 years, and, you know, win Super Bowls. And, you know, that was the dream going in there. And but obviously it didn't work out. And so, but I'm thankful and, just thankful for the opportunity that, you know, that organization gave me for the 3 years that I was with them.
What advice would you give that player going to this team, and what kind of a team do you believe that next quarterback is coming into with the Jets?
Have fun and don't pay attention to the media. No, I'm joking, guys.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So for whatever it's worth, we actually had Sam Darnold in studio before that draft. And he came off as a really nice, really bright, really kind of mature individual where you could see absolutely hitching your wagon to drafting him and making him a franchise guy. And it was part of the reason I really liked him coming out of USC, but also because I thought that Darnold had the arm strength. I thought he had the poise. I thought he showed a lot of good things at USC, and that in the NFL, it would definitely translate. So I thought that Darnold was going to be the franchise guy. 3 years later, I still believe he can be, but of course, it's not a slam dunk, or else he would have done it in New York, even despite all the miserable situations around him. So Darnold absolutely has responsibility here. I think, though, when I view Darnold's his path through the Jets and where he is now, number one, on the backside of this, he has no more excuses. If Darnold doesn't succeed in Carolina, then he was never fit to succeed because he's got all of the pieces right now. He has an organization that wants him to be the franchise guy. They're not putting him out there to compete for the job. They want him to have the job. They have brought in one of his best targets when he was in New York, Robbie Anderson. He has two good wide receivers to throw to, and he has the best all-around back in the NFL in Christian McCaffrey. He also has an owner who is willing to spend money, David Tepper, who is frustrated 3 years into his own tenure as the owner of the Carolina Panthers that they have not been able to win more. So all of the situations, all of the parts of the situation in Carolina that could lead you to have success are there in place for Darnold to do it. On the front end of this, he was only 20 years old when he got drafted, and I think a couple of things happened. I do think if you look at Sam Darnold and where he was from a maturation process, I do think he was a little naive. And you hear some of it right there, that he thought it was going to be 20 years and multiple Super Bowls. And try not to pay attention to the media. I do think that Darnold, at only 20 years old, and only having a short amount of time at USC to really flash what he had, probably expected things to be a lot more flowery than they were. And in New York, specifically with the Jets, it is a negative perception. It is a negative community. They are always the stepsisters of New York in football because of the Giants. They're always going to have a more negative fan base because they have not been to a Super Bowl in 50 years. They're always going to have a more cynical media following then because they've always been the Jets, the mess of the Jets. When you walk into that situation and you're 20 years old, you might think everything's going to be fine, and then you realize, oh man, it's tough around here. Not to mention the football itself or the Jets themselves as players, as a coaching staff, and as the organization itself did not support him well. The two coaches, Todd Bowles, defensive guy, Adam Gase, a total idiot. The money that they spent on Le'Veon Bell, basically they lit it on fire because Gase didn't want to play Le'Veon Bell. Jamal Adams wanted out. I mean, there was a lot of things that were beyond Sam Darnold's control, but I do think he was a little naive coming to a situation because I think if you're a rookie and you get drafted, yes, you want to believe, okay, this is my home. But you can't go into the situation expecting that to be your home. And I don't know where that line is for Darnold, but the players that get drafted by a team and spend 20 years and go to multiple Super Bowls are a really short list of players. You know, that is basically not even Tom Brady because Brady had to move on at the end of his career. But we'll put Brady in there because he did spend 20 years there going to Super Bowls. But you're talking about Brady, Peyton Manning, kind of, because he had to move on to the end. Brett Favre, kind of, because he had to move on to the end. Ben Roethlisberger. You know, Drew Brees certainly didn't spend 20 years with the team that drafted him. Eli, kind of, didn't go to 20 years. More like 15. Phillip Rivers, kind of, but didn't go to Super Bowls. My point is, there is a but on all of those guys' resumes from that beautiful, romantic idea of 20 years with a team in Super Bowls. And I think that these young guys need to come into the league and realize that nothing's guaranteed. Every year is work. Every year is a new journey, a new challenge. And don't put anything out there in front that could lead you to assuming it's going to be great. You just can't do that. And I think when you have unrealistic expectations, along with a really negative society, along with a really cynical media, then you end up getting a situation where it can crush you. And I'm not saying that Sam Darnold would have succeeded had he just measured or tempered his expectations, because I think, again, the Jets put a situation around him that was not conducive to succeeding. But I do think that these young guys, you know, you get drafted high and there's always this idea, oh, this is my team for life and we're going to go to Super Bowls. And maybe that takes a little bit of an edge off, or maybe that sinks your attitude, your enthusiasm when it doesn't quite happen that way. And Darnold has to bear some brunt of this, because statistically speaking, he was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL last year in year three of his career and year two of that offensive system with that coach. So there is something there to Darnold who was unable to rise above whatever the mess of the Jets was. I mean, they were a disaster. We were looking at them as the number one pick in the draft all season long. So I would caution the Trevor Lawrences of the world, the Zach Wilsons of the world, Justin Fields, and the rest of these cats that are going to be drafted in the first round high. Don't get ahead of yourself and think this is your team for 20 years and it's going to be hunky-dory. You put in the work right away and assume it's going to be hard. And I wonder if that part of it might have really helped Tom Brady. Because Brady gets drafted in the sixth round, and obviously he knows there is no guarantees at anything. There's no guarantee that I make the team out of the draft. There's no guarantee that I'm not on the street a year from now. Every day was a battle to stay on the field, to stay on the roster, to study your butt off and just wait for your moment. He had no delusions of, oh, I'm going to be here 20 years and win Super Bowls with the Patriots. There is no way he could have conceptualized that. From day one, he was grinding because he was worried and he was scared and he was you know, survival mode. Now flip that around to Darnold saying, I thought I was going to be there 20 years and win Super Bowls. Peyton Manning might have thought the same thing, but I also doubt Peyton Manning thought that as well, because Peyton seemed to always be also driven by the fear of failure, which is why he studied so crazy for every defense and every situation ever. I would warn all these young guys coming out of the draft, man, don't assume anything. Assume that nothing's going to go right, and you've got to bust your ass every single day to make anything work. Your phone number is 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. Scary moment last night. The Warriors got a victory last night over the Denver Nuggets, and now the Denver Nuggets have lost two games in a row that they're going to be really disappointed by, obviously blowing the 15-point lead against the Celtics the other night, where Boston just blew by him with a 31-3 run, 40-11 in a bit of a longer segment, and just crushed him at the end of the game, which was a little worrisome because you were on home floor and they'd come into the game on a red-hot streak. And now this, they lose to the Warriors last night when Steph has 53 to become the all-time leading scorer in Warriors franchise history. But the big news is not just that they lost, but they might have lost Jamal Murray for the season. Jamal Murray goes down in a heap at the end of this game. And I hate to see this. We all hate to see this at the end of a game that's already out of arm's length, out of reach for the Nuggets. You lose a guy, especially one who is as important to the team as Murray. But he goes down, looked like a non-contact injury, and trainers and the coaching staff kind of rushing out there. They offered him a wheelchair because he was writhing in pain. He declined it and hopped off of the court, but speculation is it might be really bad, like torn ACL bad, which means, of course, Jamal Murray's out of this season. And for a Nuggets team that went to the Western Conference Finals last year, and for a Nuggets franchise that thought that this was the year, which is why they made the move for Aaron Gordon, this is devastating. Because, frankly, if they don't have Jamal Murray, they don't stand a chance in the West. Gordon was a good pickup if they had Joker and Murray. If they don't have Jamal Murray, the dreams are dashed in Denver, which is just a crushing blow. So definitely let's hope that it is not a torn ACL. Murray has been in and out of the lineup this year anyway with some knee stuff. He just come back. They're hoping it's a hyperextended knee. That would be great. At the moment, though, it certainly does not feel like a hyperextended knee with the way that he went down in a crumple last night. Terrible situation. Awful scene. And a really, really bad prognosis if he does not play for the Denver Nuggets for this postseason.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Remember, you can watch the show at watchda.com. That is mobile friendly. If you want to watch the stream or on any device, you could watch us on the simulcast live in sparkling Technicolor each and every morning. Also, you could watch us on Twitch. Check out the CBS Sports Radio channel there to check out the simulcast of the show. We begin this soundcheck with Matt Rhule, Carolina Panthers head coach, after trading for Sam Darnold. Here is Coach Rhule's thoughts.
We believe in Sam. We believe in his skill set. We believe in his approach. As you talk to people that know him, he's tough-minded. He's competitive. And, you know, we're really hopeful that this will be a great place for him. And this will be a tremendous time for him in his career.
Yeah, like I said, there's no excuses for Sam Darnold at this point in time. Also, Matt Rhule is under some pressure with that type of contract to win. Now, this is only going to be year number two for Rhule. But when you have an owner that spent $2 billion, $2-plus billion with the team a couple of years ago, he has been searching for the franchise QB. He wants to turn this thing around. It is why he fired Ron Rivera. It is why he hired Matt Rhule and gave him that big deal. It's why he gave Matt Rhule all of that money, which is why they pulled the trigger on Sam Darnold, which is why they've been trying to trade for guys like Deshaun Watson. It's because they want to win. And so Darnold has the resources. Matt Rhule has the pressure. And now we get to see if that actually equates to something. And Christian McCaffrey has to stay on the field and healthy as well. Here's A.J. Hinch, Tigers manager. Remember, of course, he was the manager of the Houston Astros when they won the World Series. And then everybody rained hellfire down to them a little over a year ago because of the banging of trash cans. Banging on a trash can. Here is Hinge talking about returning to Houston for the first time to play his former team, the Astros.
I haven't let myself go there emotionally on returning to Houston until probably tonight after the game. You get into the land in the city. I go to a hotel that I have never stayed at before as a visiting person. But it's home for me, so there's a lot of emotions that are going to be involved.
It is so funny that at the time, this is two Januaries ago, this is before pandemic hit, so this is two Januaries ago, two Februaries ago, man, it is just nonstop ripping of the Houston Astros, and everybody is culpable, and everybody is guilty, and there's a scarlet letter on this franchise, a scarlet letter on this team. They're cheaters. They'll always be branded cheaters. The moment A.J. Hinch was available to be hired, he was. So while Hinch had to sit out the season as a cautionary tale last year, the moment another team could hire him, they did. So I really wonder about all this outrage around baseball. Was there? Is there? Players of that Astros team in 2017 that won the World Series were signed as free agents this year. So I wonder about, at the moment, the outrage around baseball, and then in reality, what people really thought. That after a year, the outrage subsided and everybody was a little tired of yelling about the Astros, suddenly was, well, I guess it wasn't so bad. I mean, I guess we all do something like it. I mean, they were worse, but yeah, Hinch is a pretty good manager. And you know, those players are pretty good, I guess, without it. Pretty funny how that happened. And finally, here's Luka Doncic, who, looking at the Western Conference play-in playoff tournament, says, this is stupid.
I don't understand the idea of playing. You play 72 games to get in the playoffs, and then maybe you lose two in a row and you're out of the playoffs. So I don't see the point of that. But we just try here to get to the sixth spot, and I think that's our goal right now.
This is stupid!
Stupid! Woohoo! Well, look, I understand where Doncic is coming from. He's like, if we're going to play 72 games, why do we have to also play more games to get into the playoffs? Isn't that enough to get into the postseason? Isn't 72 games enough of a sample size? And the idea is for the NBA that every team between 7 and 10 is going to have a play-in mini tournament to make the final two spots of the playoffs. So the 7 and 8 seed is going to be up for competition between 7, 8, 9, and 10. And the reason, obviously, is that the NBA wants to include some juice at the end of the season. They want more games to sell as television partners. They want more content for fans to enjoy, and they want more hope for their teams. And this is basically wild card games. But that's the way you got to look at it. These are play-in games for no guarantees in the playoffs right before you get to the real playoffs. And I don't mind it. I thought that it worked last year. Now, last year was a little bit of a weird situation. Well, a lot bit of a weird situation. Vast understatement, DA. And that is that it was a pandemic and it was a shortened season and they were in the bubble and we didn't know what the playoffs were going to look like. But I think moving forward, it does make sense because, look, you want to incentivize being better than the 8 seed, and you also want to make just slipping into the playoffs to be crushed as a minnow against the shark that is the 1 seed to actually mean something. When you just have the 8 seed get into the playoffs and you know they're chumming the water for whoever the 1 is, at least give them a little mini tournament or mini moment before the playoffs begin so that it doesn't feel like, oh, just here's the sacrificial lamb that happened to finish 8th. Give them something to gun for, and then the best team in that little mini tournament gets to be the minnow. You get to compete to be the minnow in some fashion. And that is your sound check this morning. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, hit us up on a Trash Tuesday, DA on CBS. Standing by with our headline of this morning is a kind sir. His name is Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, good morning. How we doing?
DA, good morning. We're doing well. We begin on a serious front, though, this morning. This world once again dealing with things far more important than wins and losses. The Twins, Timberwolves, and Wild did not play yesterday as Minneapolis dealt with a police officer killing Dante Wright during a traffic stop on Sunday. The city is still under curfew for another hour or so. The Twins and Red Sox are scheduled to resume their series today. Elsewhere on the diamond, the Reds were 3-0 winners in San Francisco last night. The Padres stayed hot, 6-2 in Pittsburgh. The Nats snapped their 5-game skid, 5-2 in St. Louis. And the Brewers beat the Cubs 6-3 on AL grass. Shohei Ohtani still hitting.
Here's a pitch to Shohei, and he rips that one down the right field side. That's going to take a bounce and hit off the wall. Ohtani has just driven in a pair with two outs. That is a huge hit right there for the Angels. And the Angels' lead increases to 6-3.
That's Terry Smith on Angels Radio. That two-run double left Ohtani's bat at 119 miles an hour, the fifth hardest ball hit since 2015. Anaheim won the game in KC 10-3. The White Sox, a 4-3 win over Cleveland. The Rays won. The Rangers nothing as Tyler Glasnow K'd 14 over 7 2/3. And the Yankees beat the Jays in Dunedin 3-1. Yankee center fielder Aaron Hicks took himself out of the lineup pregame because of the events in Minnesota. In the NBA last night, as we've already mentioned, Steph Curry passing Wilt Chamberlain for the most points in Warriors history. He had 53 total in a 116-107 home win over the Nuggets, who lost Jamal Murray to that left knee injury in the final minute. It looked bad. We should know for sure later today. The Suns hit 25 threes in a 126-120 home win over the Rockets. The Wizards snapped Utah's 24-game home winning streak, 125-121.
The Wizards of all teams did it. The crappy, awful, terrible Wizards went to Utah and won. The only team that can do that this year.
They also beat them in D.C., so apparently the Wizards are the Jazz kryptonite this year.
Well, the Jazz better hope they don't face the Wizards of the NBA Finals, or else they're toast.
Fingers crossed. The Pelicans outscored the Kings 117-110. The Sixers dumped the Mavs 113-95. Doc Rivers got 36 from Joel Embiid.
He was phenomenal in how aggressive he was. And he made right plays, you know, made some great plays out of the double team. Then they didn't want a double team, which with Joel, he got what he wanted.
The Sixers take a half-game lead on the Nets for number one in the East before they play tomorrow. College Poops, Colin Gillespie and Jermaine Samuels returning to Villanova for next season, both using the extra year of eligibility that everybody got because of COVID. Julian Edelman is retiring after 12 NFL seasons. His 118 postseason catches, the second most all-time. Edelman only played 6 games last season, and a report last week said he was unlikely to play a full season in 2021, all because of a nagging knee issue. Jadeveon Clowney did not visit the Browns yesterday as expected because of travel issues. He'll be in town tonight, and Cleveland.com expects them to complete a one-year agreement. On ice last night, the Avalanche beat the Coyotes 4-2. They've won 8 of 9. The Leafs' 6-game win streak ended in Montreal 4-2. The Ducks blanked the Sharks 4-0. And DC United reportedly hiring Lucy Rushton as GM. She'd be the second woman to hold that job in MLS history. Rushton has spent the last 5 years as Atlanta United's head of technical recruitment and analysis. DA, back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, Bogues. Again, your phone number is 855-212-4CBS. Mraz, we led off this hour talking about Sam Darnold and about those comments that he said, I thought he was going to be there 20 years and win Super Bowls. Now, we were both very high on Darnold coming out of USC. We both thought he was going to be the slam dunk franchise QB for the Jets to turn things around. Obviously, that did not happen. When you hear comments like that, and he also kind of joked and said, for the next guy, don't listen to the media and have fun. Is there a part of you that goes, oh, okay, maybe he was a little naive coming into the situation, or do you think it was just all the Jets that ruined Darnold?
I think it's both. I think that the Jets absolutely ruined Sam Darnold. When you hire Adam Gase, and he's supposed to be this offensive guy, and you've listened to Peyton Manning, you are going to have all this hope for what he's going to do for a young quarterback. And the proof is now in the pudding with Ryan Tannehill, how much better he's been since leaving Adam Gase, that Adam Gase is more of a quarterback ruiner than he is more of a quarterback
helper.
If
Darnold goes to Carolina and becomes really good again, we'll have both Tannehill and Darnold, and then you know that Gase's touch is kryptonite.
And by the way, that would surprise you? That wouldn't surprise me at all if Sam Darnold was successful in Carolina. Wouldn't. And also, look, the Jets had been basically flush with salary cap space the last 3 years. And for some reason, they became the one team in NFL history since free agency began, or at least since the rookie quarterback scale and rookie scale had changed, to not try to take advantage of spending big when a quarterback is on a rookie window. They left so much unused cap space and never truly supported Darnold, so much so that they let his best target, Robbie Anderson, leave last year despite a bunch of cap space that he's now rejoining in Carolina. They just failed to support him on any front. Now, could he rise above, as you mentioned, and defy all odds and show what a great quarterback he was? Of course. But I think that's where Darnold's naiveness came in, where I think he probably assumed, I'm the third overall pick. All my talent's going to take me. I'm assuming he was a hard worker. But there was probably a little bit of Darnold where I don't think he was prepared, as young as he was in the NFL, to understand the challenges that were in front of him, and the Jets did him no favors.
Yeah, it's interesting because Joe Burrow goes to Cincinnati, and I think when he was drafted, he was 23 years old. I think he was 23 at draft time. Darnold gets drafted by the Jets at 20. They both enter equally disastrous situations where you have to change the entire culture around with an unproven coach, etc., even though Bowles was a little bit more proven than Zach Taylor, obviously. But at the same time, you know you're walking into an organization that has not been used to winning and has not spent a lot of money up to that point in time. So Burrow walks in and is immediately like, I'm the guy. I'm the guy. Follow me. And they could all sense that, where Darnold was clearly not that type of alpha male. And maybe that just has to do, certainly personalities, but also years. I mean, think about how different you are as a senior in high school than as a sophomore in high school or a freshman in high school, which is the time period, the differential between Joe Burrow and Sam Darnold. So youth might have just played a factor, and Darnold was so young that he didn't quite get what he was up against in New York.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
And remember that the DA Show is podcastable, so you get to listen to us when you want to listen to us. Check us out by going to your favorite podcast platform and searching The DA Show or Permission Granted. And you can find us there for your listening pleasure on your own time, either full episodes or the best of the show. And the PGP, all available when you get there. Search Permission Granted Podcast or The DA Show. Subscribe, rate, and review. Perez, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
I don't want to do this because I know it's going to offend Pete, but it drove me insane this weekend,
oh, no.
DA. Sunday morning, I wake up, go to a local bagel store, deli, going to get a little breakfast, maybe some bacon, egg, and cheeses on a bagel. And there it is, right behind me, two men, definitely older than me, but not old men by any means. One wearing a Shawn Michaels WrestleMania t-shirt from like 18 years ago. The other wearing a Hulk Hogan shirt. Together, pals, enjoying breakfast. And here is my issue. I understand WrestleMania was this weekend. I understand that wrestling is popular, and I understand there's wrestling fans ever. But if you are that dorkish in your early 40s that you're going to throw on, by the way, not like Mitchell and S made these t-shirts and they bought them last week. Like, they are t-shirts these guys have owned for 18, 20 years. That is not, and I repeat, not, the same thing as a football Sunday and throwing on a Mark Bavaro or an Emmitt Smith jersey throwback-wise to get ready to watch your current team. There is something wrong with you. If you're an adult in your late 30s, early 40s, clearly not into it with your kids, where you're donning shirts from 20 years ago, living in the glory years of Shawn Michaels because WrestleMania is on this weekend. I'm sorry. I love what you love, hobbies what you have, but embrace the fact you are a loser. Trash him.
Okay, trash him.
Household waste goes in this bin.
Well, let me ask you, Mraz, how is this different if you and one of your buddies went to the bagel store and were wearing an Eli Manning t-shirt and a Kerry Collins jersey?
Because it's different. Number one, the players wear jerseys. It's what you do with the stadium. I'm not wearing some kind of caricature tee of Dave Meggett running through a hole or something like that. You know, I would have more respect if these guys came with, like, the Speedos that Shawn Michaels wore and got in uniform. At least I'm wearing something reflective to what's going on in the field.
Say you met before a big Yankee playoff game with one of your buddies and were wearing your jerseys or, you know, one of your Phil Ruruto t-shirts.
It's not the game. Baseball is not the same. Adults from all ages can enjoy baseball and football. Wrestling is for children. You're a child if you wear that. It's for children. Let the children order WrestleMania, love WrestleMania. You don't show up and wake up on a 10 hours before the event with your faded t-shirt on. You're a loser.
Once again, the least mature person of this group, and maybe of the geographical region that we all live in,
a country,
is dictating how people should behave and what they should like.
Pete, I'm sure you have a response to this. What do you think about Merez's trash?
Well, I'd like to ask Sean, what about people that wear concert t-shirts?
I kind of look at them funny, too. I get, you know, what good is the concert t-shirt after the first week you attended the concert? But I don't see people in the bagel store the day before a big, I don't know, Rolling Stones concert with the big tongue rolling out of their mouth from the same concert they went to 30 years ago. And if I do see those people, I would say, frankly, you're a loser also.
Well, but there's something to the wrestling thing. You wear the worst jersey you have in your closet into a bagel store.
Okay, fine. I also wear those only on game days, and it's football. It's not wrestling.
You
football,
have not given
wrestling
a solid
is a clock.
Opinion
you
on
check
this
out of wrestling by sense. 16 years old, and you don't check back in.
Okay, so that's the difference here, that a concert goer can go to a concert at any point in time in their life, and it's okay. Sports the same thing, but wrestling you just feel is for kids, and these are adults who are trapped in their adolescence.
Yes, at some point, just don't you grow up? And I haven't grown up a lot, but don't you grow up?
I don't know. Do you grow up, man who cries over Ryan Callahan retirements and gets mad at Evan Ingram for dropping a pass as an adult? I mean, again, glass houses, okay. Man. I love you, and I don't disagree, but you're the wrong person who you fight in this fight.
Maybe. But here is a larger point that Mraz is not getting to. Wrestling is scripted. Wrestling is fake. Wrestling are characters written into a TV show. So it's kind of like two people wearing a Friends t-shirt the day before a big Friends episode and talking about Friends. Okay? That's where it is a little bit ridiculous.
What's wrong about that, though?
Well, I mean, we would look at those people as kind of dorky. Like, you're wearing a pair of Seinfeld t-shirts before the Thursday night Seinfeld episode to talk about Seinfeld. We'd be like, you know, that's a little bit weird, right? But also, and it's not a perfect comparison because it is true, you don't get into Friends when you're 9 and then you stay a Friends fan until you're 40. You get into wrestling when you're 9 and many people grow out of wrestling except for a handful of, well, not a handful, a lot of, I guess, grown adults.
Oh, wrestling is for the same people the Nickelodeon NFL broadcast was for. Think about that.
Thanks.
Well, no, because that was for kids. Wrestling is for kids and adults.
Adults with kids that want to bond with them, not for singular adults, just like SpongeBob squirting some kind of juice all over Mitchell Trubisky is not for them.
Well, but don't forget, like, again, I think the best point is what DA just said, but wrestling will tell you it's not just for kids. This is not cartoon wrestling. It's not meant to be on at 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning after Saved by the Bell. It has plenty of entertainment for adults. It is for adults. Whether you think you should like it or not is another thing, but they're geared to bringing in an adult audience. Right. That's why it's on at 9 o'clock at night on USA and why there's women in bikinis and guys with no shirts on and they have adult storylines. It's not kids. It's not me watching Saved by the Bell right now telling you how cool Zach Morris is. It's not that simple either, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin doesn't crush beers in the middle of a ring because kids are watching.
Right. Because losers are watching. Bogus, it wouldn't kill you to hate something. You know, you don't have to love everything. You don't have to defend the wrestling fans.
But again, listen, tomorrow you're going to cry over something that's equally ridiculous, or you're going to be in the bagel store next Sunday recapping your hanging on for dear life flag football career as if that's important. So it's just crazy to me that you're the guy yelling at Pete for this when you have just as many insane likes and hobbies as well.
Same man that ate dog poop.
Well, there's that as well.
Me playing adult rec league sports is the same as watching men wrestle in their underwear scripted.
You don't play in
how seriously you take it is the comparison. The fact that you think you're Algie Crumpler and you're demoted to center, that's the problem, not
okay,
playing
but let's,
it.
But let's look at some of the people that we know that really love wrestling and that are adult males that work in the building, okay? Do we find it a little weird that, like, those guys are all into a scripted TV show? And they talk about it like it's real. Like when Evan Roberts and Pete Hoffman and those guys talk about wrestling, like yeah, I really think so-and-so is going to do it. I really think he deserves to be the champion. I really think he's got what it takes. Don't we all look at them askew like, what are you talking about? Like, it's just they decided an office in Stanford, Connecticut, who wins? Why are you guys debating this like it's sports?
Yeah, if you think the Julian Edelman Hall of Fame debate's dumb, how about a wrestling Hall of Fame debate, which again is all half predicated on people deciding that somebody's going to be successful. That, to me, that is where I can't follow because, and who said it yesterday? I mean, The Miz did a radio tour last week about fighting Bad Bunny knowing he was going to lose to Bad Bunny. Like, that is insanity. But if Pete wants to like it and wear a Bret Hitman Hart t-shirt, then go ahead.
That's right. Damn it.
Just never wear a leotard. Never wear the spandex.
That's coming.
Though, Pete.
Well, I mean, Merez, what do you feel like when we walk through our offices and people are having serious conversations about wrestling? Like, I think Roman Reigns is going to be the champion. I think he's on that ascent. I've heard this, like, the trajectory. Maybe it's not Roman Reigns. I have no idea. But it's, you know, they're talking about it like we talk about Julian Edelman.
That's, I think, where I have the crux of the problem and why I think Pete's a little different than the guys I'm talking about at the bagel store. If wrestling is a guilty pleasure of yours and you embrace the fact that you're a nerd about it, like, I think that's okay. It's when you actually break it down like it's real sports and get pumped for it like it's the Super Bowl and have to wear the t-shirts and have those conversations, having Hall of Fame candidacy conversations, and who's going to win this bout. Like, that is where I look at you like you're a deranged loser. The people that know it's scripted are just kind of into it for, like, oh, it's entertaining to me. I'm not going to wear the faded t-shirt. Like, Pete, I actually falls in that line where, look, he knows he shouldn't be into it. The age he's into it, and he can't help himself.
That's
so
exactly
I'm okay with that. You're right. Those dorks in the newsroom,
they're dorks.
Breaking it down like they can't, you know, Monday Night Raw, can you believe what's going to happen on the co-main event? Get lost. I mean, seriously, it's got to be a better hobby. Get
Damn
a Lionel Train set, will you?
Well, no, it's true. Pete has a healthy, I think, separation from it. Like, when we talk to Pete about wrestling, and I'll loop you in here, Pete, you don't talk about it like some starstruck child about it. Like, you have astute observations. Like, this made sense that they did this. I think this is why they did this. Like, you always look at it from a, they're doing that.
Correct.
You don't look at it as like, I really think my guy is going to win Royal Rumble this week because he totally deserves it and stuff like that. So do you feel like those guys that discuss it that way are also a little bit crazy?
Well, yeah, if you get too into it like you are a 12-year-old, yeah. I look at it, like you said, I look at it more as an analyst, analyzing it, basically observing the storylines and what they're doing. And am I entertained by this?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
For us, though, we know at home you're doing Randy Macho Man Savage voices at the
yesterday.
TV screen.
Whenever the doorbell rings, I do the Hulk Hogan in the ear thing.
Someone coming over.
Hold on. I got to do the Hulk Hogan thing.
Ding dong. Wooed at the mailman the other day. Yes, I do that at home.
Hogan was awesome. We got to admit, Hogan was, out of all the guys, he was awesome. Well, that's the other thing. Like, they're making a lot of retro wrestling gear now for stuff in the 80s. I mean, is it okay to wear, like, a Target Hulk Hogan t-shirt, Mraz? Like, the same thing you would wear a Mountain Dew t-shirt or Diet Coke or any of those retro shirts?
I guess
Sesame
that's
Street?
I guess that's fine. I don't know. Like, that's the thing. You're asking me to define an undefined line. I guess that's fine. But, like, these dudes' shirts were fit. Like, they were from, like, when I was a junior high and they still own them. Like, that's where I was just like, are we kidding me? Like they couldn't wait just the one day a year to break out that shirt. It was just, ugh.
Well, what do you think about Jody Mack? He's got to be in his 60s, maybe 70s, and he's still in.
Or 90. We don't know. Or he's 20.
Right,
it could be a lot
of
things.
He just turned 21, and he just has been smoking a pack a day since he was 7.
Excuse me.
What do you think about Jody Mack? He's in his 60s, and he really loves wrestling.
I mean, but D.A., that you just asked us to define guys. Like, that is exactly, right? Like, my answer to that would be exactly. Like, look at Jody Mack, exactly. That do you want to be Jody Mack? Like, honestly, like, if you were to wear those shirt in the bagel store, I would put a picture of Jody Mack, have him coughing all over the place, be like, this is what you want in 20 years. This is who you are. So, no, you don't want to be Jody Mack.
4227.
My response to that would be exactly. Harsh. All right, Bogues, who are you trashing?
I got a fat guy tweet about me, or trash, I should say, this week. I'm trashing Reese's, the candy company, for only recently deciding, having the great stroke of genius to put Reese's Pieces inside their other candies. My kids had Reese's Pieces inside the Reese's peanut butter egg in their Easter basket. There's also this amazing candy bar called the Outrageous. They put it inside peanut butter cups. I mean, it is genius. Whoever did this deserves an award, but also getting trash for not doing it until recently. I can't believe they went this long without combining all of their delicious candy. So get them out.
Okay, trash them.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
Missed opportunity by Reese's. Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
I am trashing movers that don't know what the hell they're doing.
Oh.
On Saturday, I ordered a delivery of a crib. And they had said, oh, no, we can't deliver it Saturday. We got to deliver it Monday. So I'm like, all right, we'll wait till Monday. I'm not at the house. And, of course, they deliver it on Saturday. Get in line. Get yourself straightened out. Figure out what you're doing if you're a delivery person. Get you out.
Overflowing landfill.
I am trashing anonymous guy on Twitter that comes at you with the harshest take. I understand that social media is made for debate. I realize that people like to get stuff off their chest. But if you have a really, really harsh take, you really want to be super critical, and you're anonymous, immediately you have no credibility in your take or your opinion or your ridiculousness, because what you're just doing is obviously hiding from what you're saying. You know, I was thinking about like Twitter and social media, Facebook, etc. Facebook a little bit less, but it's allowed us to be anonymous message boards on social media or on the internet to really trash things. But what was the precursor to this? If you really hated something, you had to write a letter or call somebody and hide your voice or be anonymous. If you wrote a letter, you couldn't have the return address. Before that, did you have to go to a town hall meeting and hide in the shadows so that nobody knew who you were as you were shouting something? I mean, what exactly, how did you get your message across before Twitter to where you could still be anonymous because you were embarrassed, I guess, of what you were saying? That's the whole point. If you come at me with an opinion or you say something crude or whatever, look, as long as you have your name and a real picture attached to it, I can respect it a little bit. At least you're standing by what you're saying. But if you're completely anonymous and you have, you know, some ridiculous avatar of a cartoon and it's just a series of numbers and letters and you're going to tell me something, that means even you're embarrassed of what you're saying, which means it doesn't really count. I'm trashing them.
I smell rotten eggs.
855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. I believe Josh is in Topeka here on CBS Sports Radio on the Julian Edelman debate. Josh, good morning. How we doing?
Hey, wonderful, man. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, I just got a quick question. What's the chances of Tom Brady pulling his magic and convincing him to come to Tampa?
I guess it depends on his knee. And thanks for the phone call, Josh. I think if Julian Edelman could play, he would play. And he probably is totally enamored with the idea of joining up with Gronk and Brady for another run. But I have to imagine that knee situation is really serious because he missed 10 games last year. And the prognosis was he'd have to miss all of this season. If he can play and he's out of the Patriots contract, would he want to play for the Bucs? I'm sure. But it'd be a pretty low blow to the Pats, who I think are helping him out here with how they're handling his situation and his contract. So I wouldn't expect that to happen. I think the knee is really legitimately mangled.
It's going to be a good day with D.A.
Now all I'm thinking about is Chex Mix because I'm so damn fat.
It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
The DA Show every single day, available on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border, and on SiriusXM 206. This weekend, the PGA Tour returns to CBS as many of the world's top golfers descend on the famous Harbortown Golf Links course in Hilton Head, South Carolina. For the RBC Heritage, live coverage begins 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, Saturday and Sunday only on CBS.
CBS, spectacular, yeah!
On a Trash Tuesday, Darryl is trashing his service truck. Last week, the headlights and taillights went out due to separate wiring issues. Put me behind on getting things done. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Luke, it's the trash compactor.
Greasy is trash to the guy who interjects himself into your conversation, then plays superior on the topic. I was discussing Asian food with this other guy, and this dude comes in off the top rope and was like, "Oh, you like Asian food too? Name every dish ever." Over here naming obscurities. Get away from me, buddy. Trash him.
Is Oscar the Grouch living in there?
Jeremy tweets, "I'm trashing people who answer their phone on speaker in public places. No one wants to hear your conversation about your personal life. Get them out."
Total wasteoid.
Totally agree. People on speakerphone in public places, really terrible people. Those are really terrible human beings. Michael tweets, "I'm trashing my daughter for turning 13 years old Saturday. Why does she have to do this and make me feel like an old man? Trash Lana."
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
I really feel for Lana, but, you know, she had it coming. She turned 13. Patrick tweets, "I'm trashing Bogish for making fun of Mraz looking up grandparent nicknames. He admittedly spent multiple accumulative hours looking up CABS, calories after burps. If Bogish spent that time doing some more workouts, he wouldn't have a poor showing last week of his biceps. Hashtag pro boner."
Beep. Whoa, sanitation whoa. Just arrived.
Pretty sure I finished second in the flex off last week after you and before Sean, so I'm not sure exactly what the issue is there. Pro boner. Hey, Pete.
Hi.
What do you think? Should you have spent more time researching grandparent nicknames instead of whether cabs are a real thing or not?
I mean, I trash myself for falling into the cabs rabbit hole because of Sean's ridiculousness. So I know that I wasted my time there, too. I'm completely self-aware that I wasted time. My joke was just that we've had how many episodes of Sean not looking up simple information, but the one thing he did check on was Lolly as a grandma's name? That's funny. At the plate.
Mraz's dad is named Pop-Pop for Taylor, and his mom was named Lolly, so that they could be a super tandem, like a Durant Westbrook. Lolly and Pop-Pop hopefully will win a little bit more than that Thunder team did. After getting that shine the other day on the show, how are Lolly and Pop-Pop doing with their newfound fame?
I haven't talked to Lolly, nor have I talked to Pop-Pop since we discussed that on the show, so hard to say. I guess I'll check back in and see if their inflated egos are okay come Friday.
Get to see, get out, there you go.
How do we spell Lolly, by the way? I-E or Y?
Oh, good. You know, I don't know. I've been going L-O-L-L-I. But I guess it could be an L-O-L-L-Y. But I think there's two L's there in the middle.
So really going off lollipop. So we're definitely going to L-O-L-L-I. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Lollipop-pop combination.
They just want to be a super team, don't they?
They do. Look, that's it. Why fend for yourself? You don't need to go chase the money. Chase togetherness and chase the ring of a great dynamic duo.
Mac and Bear tweets, "Morning, DA and crew. I'm trashing all the people who gave you crap about Tiger last week. Most people can't handle the truth. You have the platform to challenge anything that smells wrong. Safety on the road always. Trash them."
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Send us your trashes, DA on CBS. Kyle tweets, "I'm trashing Luke for being a mark and Raiden for being a god. And to my girlfriend, you're not making tacos. I don't love you no more. Trasher."
Luke, it's the trash compactor.
Now, for the record, Kyle's the same guy that called his pregnant girlfriend as big as a house. So I don't know if this is going to help him.
She probably shouldn't be eating tacos then.
Michael tweets, "How is A-Rod getting into the NBA different than Magic Johnson buying the Dodgers?" It's somewhat similar, but remember, I mean, Magic, not that it matters who bought the Dodgers specifically, if Magic is the front man or not. He's not the money man. I mean, he has a lot of cash, but there's tons of money behind Magic Johnson's bid. But Magic at least was a star in Los Angeles. Alex Rodriguez has no connection to Minnesota. Alex Rodriguez might as well be Prince's butler. He has no connection. None whatsoever. At least Magic was an L.A. star.
I was just saying, in fact, the only times A-Rod was really clutch in his career is when the Yankees played the Twins in the playoffs and he absolutely owned them.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the connection. Standing by with our headline of this morning is a kind Sir Andrew Bogish, plus he's got stunned. Good morning, Bogues.
Well, good morning again. Let us begin with the good news from last night's Warriors-Nuggets game.
Dribble drive. Curry goes in, drives the layup. It's up and good. And there he is, Stephen Curry. Now the all-time leading scorer in Warriors franchise history. He shines brighter than the Big Dipper as he passes Wilt Chamberlain into history.
And that is Tim Roy on Warriors Radio. Curry needed 19 points to pass Wilt Chamberlain for the most in team history. That hoop gave him 21 in the first quarter. He finished with 53 in a 116-107 home win over Denver. Now, in the final minute of this game, Nuggets guard Jamal Murray drove to the rim, crumpled to the floor with a left knee injury. It looked bad in the moment, and the Nuggets talked like it was bad post-game. We should know for sure later today. The Jazz's 24-game home winning streak is over despite 42 points from Donovan Mitchell. The Wizards winning in Salt Lake City last night, 125-121. Russell Westbrook, 25 points, 14 rebounds, and 14 assists. The Sixers beat the Mavs, 113-95, and the Grizzlies dropped the Bulls, 101-90. Jonas Valanciunas, 32 points and 22 boards. In Dunedin, Florida last night, the Yankees got Higgy with it.
There'll be a 1-2 to Higgy. And he swings, lifts a high drive to left center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. It hit off the scoreboard way in back of the stands. Another home run. Kyle makes you smile. Higashioka, the home run stroker.
Yeah.
And the Yankees take a 3-1 lead.
John Sterling, a giggling
Susan Waldman.
Got a chuckle
out of Susan, though. She had a little chuckle.
<Yeah.
laughs> Cute.
Higashioka homer twice for all the Yankee runs in a 3-1 victory over the Blue Jays. Gerrit Cole K'd 8 over 6. Rays righty Tyler Glasnow K'd a career-high 14 over 7 and 2-thirds in a 1-0 win over the Rangers. The Tigers winning in Houston 6-2. The White Sox beat Cleveland 4-3 on a throwing error bottom nine. The Nats snapped the 5-game skid 5-2 in St. Louis. The Brewers beat the Cubs 6-3. The Padres down the Pirates 6-2. The legendary Julian Edelman retiring after 12 seasons. The Patriots first released him yesterday for a failed physical. And DA, you mentioned this last hour. That apparently allows him to access different benefits in retirement. Right. So the idea of him playing somewhere else next year is probably impossible because of this nagging knee injury. And that seems they've done all the paperwork to send him off into retirement here. Edelman is second in Patriots history in catches, fourth in receiving yards.
They took care of him, basically. The Patriots found a way to take care of him for retirement.
Yeah, I read yesterday that he's now eligible for up to $2 million in added benefits as a player whose career, I guess, ends because of injury.
Right.
So, A, I think he would want that money, and B, it'd be pretty shiesty of him to now back out of that kind of agreement with New England and go play for Brady or anybody, really, other than New England.
Exactly.
The biggest trade at yesterday's deadline in the NHL was Washington sending two players and two picks, including a first-rounder to Detroit for winger Anthony Mantha. Those Red Wings then won at first place Carolina 3-1. Vegas a 4-2 win in St. Louis, and the Canadiens cooled off the Leafs 4-2. Toronto was on a six-game run. And finally, let's get all dressed up and get stunned.
Yeah!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
This one is wild. Wow.
Yeah. Apparently, they take their beauty pageants very seriously in Sri Lanka. The police are now involved after this year's Mrs. Sri Lanka contest. Two Whoa. Sundays ago, Pushpaka Da Silva won the crown live on TV, but that crown live on TV was quickly ripped off her head by Caroline Jury, the reigning Mrs. World, who is also from Sri Lanka. She claims Da Silva is divorced, making her ineligible to be Mrs. Sri Lanka.
Wow.
So she took the crown and put it on the runner-up's head. Now, it sounds like Da Silva and her partner might be separated, but not legally divorced, so she keeps going on a technicality here. Da Silva telling police she suffered minor injuries when the crown was ripped off her head, so Jury and another woman were arrested Thursday for, quote, simple hurt and criminal force. They were released on bail. They have a hearing on Monday.
I gotta find the video of this. This happened live on TV, you said?
That's what the story says, live on TV, beauty pageant, winners walking up, and this other woman comes over and snatches the crown from her.
Oh my goodness, this is intense. Well, let's ask this, guys, if divorce makes you ineligible, and she's separated but not divorced, do we find it okay for her to win Mrs. World?
Yes, because there are people that get separated and might be close to getting divorced, but then ultimately don't pull the trigger and come back together. I think that paperwork needs to be signed for divorce. She's eligible.
I think your intent matters here, DA, in the context of the situation. If they're only not divorced so she can be in this event, if she, you know, if they're not living together, if they're going to be divorced soon after her reign is over, then maybe it's a little sketchy, because for all then all we're doing here is separating this based on paperwork and a signature, and she might actually really be divorced here. So there might be some murky water in this situation.
I think it's a Patriot situation. I think it's a Spygate, Deflategate thing. I think it's hard to nail them because they're getting by in a loophole of a technicality. I think it takes... And she's winning. She's benefiting from it. To me, this is the dark arts of the Patriots. This is the Belichick, Ernie Adams type of thing. I think Mraz is right. It's a technicality, but if she's not legally divorced, she's still eligible. Until that paperwork is filed, even if she's only together with her husband, just to remain eligible for Mrs. World, she's still eligible. So you gotta, unfortunately, give her the Super Bowl trophy. She gets the Lombardi trophy, even though you know her intentions are wrong. Basically, she is the Pats. I mean, it's terrible. And we don't want the Pats to win those Super Bowls either, but she's the Pats of the Sri Lankan Miss World pageants. And it's hard. And I hope that, you know, there's some type of draft picks taken away from her. But I don't know if you can... take away the crown, because she's technically eligible.
And just one other part of this, how much money do you think Mrs. Sri Lanka gets paid for this? Because what does it benefit the separated husband to go along with the plan and not go through with divorce until her reign is over? He's got to be getting something out of this cut, right? Which tells me there's got to be a lot of money pushed behind Mrs. Sri Lanka.
Maybe in Sri Lanka, yeah, being Mrs. World or Mrs. Sri Lanka is a big deal, worth a lot of endorsements perhaps. Maybe there's pageant money. Maybe also he's getting away with something, so this is the wink, wink, nudge, nudge deal. Maybe he caused the divorce or the separation by, you know, cheating on her or something like this, and then he gets to keep doing that as long as they stay divorced so that she can get the Mrs. World, or, you know, he gets the house or something like that, or he gets more days with the kids. I don't know, but you're right. Mr. Sri Lanka has got to get something out of this deal unless he really wants to reconcile. And so he's holding out hope. But if she keeps winning Mrs. World, she's going to burn him in the dust.
Now, would you be equally okay if she got married just for the sole purpose of being eligible for this pageant? Would you be okay with that too?
Unfortunately, it is the rule, and the rule is the rule. As long as she has legal papers saying that she is married, she's eligible to be Mrs. Sri Lanka. Look, I've studied this for a long time. Obviously, I've appeared on many top 10 Mrs. Sri Lanka shows. Unfortunately, this is just the way that it breaks down. If you have the paperwork, you're eligible.
What a disgrace.
Who, us or them?
Everybody involved here.
Let me ask you this. If you're the dude in this relationship, if you are Mr. Sri Lanka, and you and your wife are obviously on the outs, you're separated, and she goes, we got to stay together because I need to be eligible for the pageant, what would it take for you to stay in it?
Oh, I mean, first of all, I'm never paying... This is a terrible. I'm not getting hit up for child support. I'm not getting hit up for any, what do you call that?
Alimony?
Alimony. I'm not getting hit up for any of that. And I want a cash payment back the other way. You sign a deal with Nike, whoever you sign a deal with.
Nike.
I want it. Well, who knows? Maybe she's a runner. Who knows what Mrs. Sri Lanka is doing? There's got to be something going on. And there's another dig. If you dig deeper here, how does Caroline know that she's going through this? Has he been sleeping with Caroline? Like, what's going on there that she would be tipped off to this?
Maybe an open secret, kind of like Spygate, where Mangini blew the whistle. Everybody around the league knew.
Jeez.
When we come back,
Sean's benefit would be wiping his hands of the kid. Baby Sri Lanka, you're out. No cash for you because I'm helping mommy. Well, best of luck, though.
No, he would help, but not a set court amount. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I need some financial kickback, some incentive. I get the boat or the house, or there's got to be something in this for me. Because if you get to be eligible for Mrs. Sri Lanka, I'm not just sit here like a fool with my thumb up my butt, wait for you to keep winning rings and crowns. Get me something over here. Get me into the red carpets with Mrs. Sri Lanka pageants and hang out with the pretty people. When Mraz yesterday on social media did declare howdy diddly do to girl number two. Oops, he did it again. Another girl. Mraz is about to die.
Yeah,
Mraz.
I am.
Are these Irish twins? I mean, how quickly did you guys get back to work?
Way too quickly than I was expecting, DA. They will be 22 months apart, one school grade apart, which is going to be trouble.
And finding
out it was a girl is exactly why I'm happy I was anti-gender reveal party, because I would not be able to get video reaction back for my reaction when I found
out. So this was a daddy's always happy situation?
Oh, boy. It's one I'm never putting back. It's
It's a girl.
This has been nothing but me stepping in landmines. I had a terrible reaction when I found out there was a pregnancy. I had a terrible reaction when I found out said due date, hint, hint, in the middle of a Yankee playoff run, and an even worse reaction when I found out, as a matter of fact, yesterday afternoon that I will be having another girl. I had to walk out of the house for a little second, recoup, not have anybody see me, walk back in and just say, okay, well, we're in this for the long haul. Taylor's got to be a big sister, and we have a little sister on the way.
Wow, so you're going to have two girls one grade apart.
Yep. Yeah.
So 10th grade, 9th grade, two sisters, same school, high school together.
Yeah. So if you've thought that I've begun looking for apartments in 14 years, the case is yes, I have. This is going to be very difficult to deal with. But look, I'm excited. This is great. Full-blown girl dad. I really thought, because I wanted to end this after two kids, that I would have a son. Turns out I'm not. And away we go with two girls. So two UConn women's scholarships I got to work on here. There's going to be a lot of that. I know Taylor's going to be excited. But, yeah, so kid number two is on the way. October 14th is the due date.
I have to ask, your signature move is an oopsie. Was this an oopsie situation?
I wouldn't call it an oopsie situation. More of, hey, you know, I'd like to have kids close in age, and me kind of yes, thinking it wouldn't happen. And then like a month in, it happened. So this... maybe an oopsie from my point of view, not an oopsie from my wife's point of view. But here we are. Did it again.
So you're prolific.
Gonna be great. Yeah, apparently.
You're really good at this.
But I wasn't for like 3 years. Then suddenly I got good at it. I don't know. I don't know what happened. But here I am. I'm flexing. I'm going to have two little girls running around. Should be noted, at least I'm winning on the name. I've been given granted to the name. That's good. I have no problem sharing that. Her name will be Peyton, so I have a Peyton and an Eli at home. So we're going with that. How about that?
How'd you change your name to Archie?
Well,
Archie.
I mean, look, I'm trying to follow the football stuff. There's only so many girl names you can go with Giants. So I figured, you know, I always loved Eli. We have a dog named Eli. Let's go with Peyton. Peyton could work for a girl. So we're going to have Peyton and Eli and Taylor.
Wow. And so... Danielle's fine with Peyton being named after Peyton Manning?
Yeah, I mean, she had like the show One Tree Hill where one of the characters was Peyton back in the day, so I guess she's attaching it to that. Also, my favorite Giants offense of all time, the offensive coordinator was Sean Payton. So we got a lot going on here. So Peyton is coming in October.
But again, wrestling fans are insane.
Congratulations to the Mraz household. Their youngest daughter named after Peyton Silva. The Louisville wonderful great. Congratulations. Max tweets, I'm trashing DA for not responding to my emails. I'm joking, but I would like to hear back from you. Hashtag beam me up, DA.
Warning, hazardous material.
Sorry, Max. Try to get to my inbox a little bit quicker. Jeremy tweets, quit bashing the pro wrestling community, Mraz. If you don't understand it, that is fine. Going on and on about bashing the fans that enjoy it just shows you don't know anything about the business. Trash Mraz.
Illegal dumping.
Mraz's trash today was a couple of guys that were in the bagel place over the weekend with old wrestling shirts on discussing WrestleMania like it was a big game straight ahead. Ugh. Right, Mraz? So yeah. Jeremy says you don't know anything about the business, so stay out of it.
I love that I don't know anything about the business. I was a wrestling fan and got out when everybody else did, when you realize Monday Night Football's on the same time as Monday Night Raw. That's when you get out. What don't I understand? That it's not scripted? Come on.
Senor Pantleg tweets, I'm following up on yesterday and trashing grandparents self-glossing themselves with dumb nicknames. My kid's grandma and great-grandma are in a feud about who has the rights to Gigi. I told my kids they could just call them Michelle and Charlotte and not bother. So trash them.
Charlie Sheen just dumped that on the set of Men at Work.
Did you consider Gigi at all?
There is a Gigi that's Danielle's grandmother. So that she got later picks in the draft. Like she won the Super Bowl. She was at the end of the line for picking names. She ended up with Gigi.
What's the Gigi stand for?
It's news to me, DA. I have no idea, but apparently this is also a grandma name. I have no idea what Gigi stands for.
Yeah, in my family, it stands for great grandma, Gigi. Ah, Gigi.
Okay. Oh.
Great grandma. I never had one of those, so we don't live long enough to get those greats around here.
Yeah, I know I certainly won't.
Welcome aboard, Peyton.
Dad won't be around much longer.
Enjoy me while you can.
If Joe Judge turns out to be the next Bill Parcells, Daddy won't be around much longer. If he turns out to be the next Pat Shermer, also won't be around much longer. Mraz announced yesterday on social media and this morning on the show that he is having another little girl. There is going to be two Mraz daughters, and they're going to stop at two. So Mraz will never have the son that he always wanted to sit on his lap and to watch football. But Taylor's amazing, and I'm sure that Peyton will be amazing as well. But the question is, how did you take this news yesterday when Danielle finally broke it about the gender?
It's one of those you'd like to have back. The doctor, I guess, told us on the phone, and Danielle saw the sinking feeling on my face. I am not going to lie. I will be honest with the audience and honest with you guys. I started to cry. I actually started to cry.
So this was like when Danielle started to cry when she realized, quote, how hideous you had become.
Yeah. Yes. And it was very quickly. You could tell the difference between very happy, emotional tears and very devastated tears. And it wasn't a good scene for me. Not at all. I was told I don't have the right attitude about this. And my point being was just, I really believed this was going to be a son. And I think there's something there when a dad has his hopes up for his son and you don't get the son. And it doesn't mean I'm not going to love my kid any less, but yeah, I was devastated. I needed to walk for a little bit, take a walk in the rain and just be okay.
Yeah, I can't see you loving Peyton any less, even though you cried at understanding when you learned she was going to be a girl.
I already got a daughter. Can I just split the difference and have a son and a daughter? Look.
Well, this is what is amazing is that you were carrying the burden of the last name. You have two sisters. You're the only son. Now, Marash Mraz dies at you. It's over.
Yes, that's part of the devastation. And not that I had a great name anyway. I mean, what's the lineage I'm passing on? I like to eat too many Egg McMuffins. I mean, what exactly am I passing on anyway? But yes, and then you throw an effect. I mean, that's two prom dresses. That's two weddings. That's two wedding. I mean, it's financially, this is going to be a big burden going forward, too. So it's just, I'm happy, healthy child, the whole thing, but there was some devastation on my face. And this is exactly why I warn all guys out there, No gender reveals. I didn't do a gender reveal, and had I done one, you know, the puff of pink smoke would have been going everywhere, and you would have saw tears on my face, and it would have lived on YouTube forever, and thankfully I don't have to really, you know, live with that. We can bury these tapes on the DA show. My daughter will never know I wanted a boy.
Truly a Gordon Hayward, daddy's always happy situation.
Devastation.
Daddy's always happy.
That was a gender reveal for Gordon Hayward, and he saw the pink smoke or the pink whatever, and he goes, oh, it's a girl.
Whoa, it's a girl.
And then his wife is like, are you happy? And he's like, daddy's always happy.
It's a no-win situation. You're such a terrible person if you're upset, but it's an honest feeling. You know, you want a son to pal around with.
Bogues had a daughter and then got his son at the second at-bat. And then Pete has Timmy. So right now, both guys on the show that have kids, they hit it out of the park.
Well, good for them. I hope they enjoy a lifetime of Little League. I'm ready for my next dance recital.
Timmy will be wearing wrestling shirts.
They can play Little League.
Oh,
they
she's
can
playing.
Play Little League. They can play softball. They can play
Monet
soccer.
Davis.
Oh, yeah. She's playing all that. And she's playing, as I told you, playing basketball. There's no doubt about it. I already got the ball in her hand. She's learning how to dribble. We're getting UConn scholarships here, folks. It's just, you know what I mean. It's just the principle of it. I don't know.
She could be the place kicker at Vanderbilt.
Let's go. Look, I'm a proud girl, Dad. Don't get me wrong. Don't put me in the wrong corner. I'm a proud girl, Dad. I just wanted a son.
I'm a proud girl, Dad, except I cried when I learned that my daughter was a daughter.
Because I wanted a girl. I already had a girl. I wanted both.
I believe the word
I
was devastation.
Everything. Yeah. Get myself into trouble here more.
I just love that in the span of 2 weeks, Danielle turned to you with tears welling in her eyes and said, quote, I can't believe how hideous you've become. And then you turned around 2 weeks later and had tears welling in your eyes when you were told you were having a daughter instead of a son.
I understand the hypocrisy. Now, also, it should be known, the emotions of calling me hideous and being upset, and, oh, by the way, the can't see the keys in front of her face hanging on the key rack. Now, if anybody's been following the breadcrumbs of the show, this is all while she's been pregnant, so the emotions and everything have been there. Now that makes a little more sense. But I think my tears are far more valuable. You don't call your husband hideous, but you can cry if you find out you're having another girl and you already have one.
Well, I will say, I don't know if you do this intentionally or not, but boy, you are great content. I mean, because now we have a lifetime of your resentment of Peyton being a girl.
This
will never not be a storyline that you will always resent that you didn't have a son.
DA, I mean, look, I love my wife, but if these two daughters I have any half of her attitude at times, I mean, what am I going to live with here? This house is a nightmare.
Marez surrounded by only girls and one grade apart. Oh, in high school, this is going to be amazing.
No, it's not.
A senior and a junior and a sophomore, one grade apart in high school. Oh, my God.
Fight.
They're
going to
be the Marez sisters. They're going to have a reputation.
The competition, the cattiness, the fighting.
Same boys involved in this.
The fighting over boys, the fighting over friends, the fighting over social media, the fighting over dresses. Who's going to wear what to this event? Who's going to wear what to this event? Oh, we can't wear the same thing to school today. Dad can't bring us both to the same thing. I'm going here. You can't go. Oh, and it's a lifetime of this.
I know. And the only time I'm really going to enjoy it is when I'm so old that I'm happy I have daughters to take care of me. But so what, I got to fast forward the next 40 years to get to the point I'm enjoying it? That's not good either.
And who knows, as you just said, you might not last 40 years.
Exactly. I'm supposed to lose 100 before a second birthday or this next kid's first birthday? I'm just going to keep packing on the pounds out of stress.
Oh, man, it is great. It is really good eating. This is just a year apart, your life is never going to be easy. A grade apart, it'll never be easy.
No. And also, how about the early goings? How am I supposed to sleep doing morning radio and having two kids, two daughters, you know, in that age? Nobody's sleeping in this house. It's going to be a nightmare.
And I know the dynamic between you and your siblings and then your dad and his siblings. While there is certainly a love and a bond, you guys get after one another.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You will scream and fight and claw, and there's there can be a scuffle out in the yard before a big event. I mean, sibling rivalries in your family is a real thing.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Danielle and her brother only get along great now because he moved to North Carolina. So it's on both sides.
Works out.
Oh, man. It's just the hits keep on coming.
Oh, boy, do they. Daddy's always happy.
And she's named after Sean Payton, just to cap it all off.
Great offense in 2000.
Danielle said
my favorite Giants offense.
The boy names were lined up. It was great. I had 15 of them to choose from. Girl, we had to go with Peyton.
Oh, you didn't want please to tell us the boys' names.
I mean, they're obvious. Derek, Henrik, Tuck, O.C., Tyree.
Oh, my God. I take it back. This didn't break our way. You could have had Henrik or O.C. Moraes.
Or Tuck Moraes.
Those were all the list.
I was going to say Pepper Johnson as a joke, but that might have been the next one out of your mouth. Pepper Mirage.
I was going to joke that you were going to name your kid Ron Dixon, but now the other stuff that you brought up was actually better.
They were all on list. It was, I think Tuck
Amani
was going to
win. Amani Mirage.
Tuck
Thomas,
I think was
his name. O.C. Moraes. Middle name Human Yura.
Yeah. We're having a third kid. We'll talk to Danielle.
Ron Dane Mirage.
We need a boy involved in this.
You might as well just name Peyton that anyway. You wanted the boy. Here's my four-year-old daughter, O.C. Humanura Mirage.
Jason Pierre Mirage.
The girl name I wanted originally before Taylor was Sabathia. That got voted down.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Where was Higagasha in all of this?
Higagasha, oh
God. Giancarlo.
Higgy Mirage.
Peyton Tanaka Mirage.
Sterling Susan Mirage.
O.C. O.C.
That was
oh
a short
God.
List.
I can't believe you pinched nice O.C. name. To your... O.C.
Danielle did tell me, quote, that's a dog's name. I said, no, it's not.
Here's my daughter, O.C.
Here's my anything named O.C. Like, really?
It's a nice name. It's beautiful.
My dog's name is Eli. My daughter's name is O.C. Oh, God, would she have hated your gut. Oh, my God, would she have hated your gut.
You might already.
I'm named after a pass rusher on the 2011 Giants, Dad.
Yeah, is that your favorite Giants defense? Because we had Spags Mirage.
Look, I don't think there's anything wrong with those are nice names. Again, O.C. wasn't the leader. I think Henrik, Derek, and Tuck were all ahead of it.
Wasn't the Henrik. Leader is not good enough. It should not have been under consideration, O.C. Mirage. Come on.
Henrik.
These are nice names.
Middle name, King.
Henrik Callahan Mirage.
Oh. Oh, man. Oh, wow. I blew through two stories I wanted to do today just because this stuff was so good. So Stan Van Gundy wants to use Zion at the point. That seems amazing because he's huge and he's fast. And that's crazy. And that's going to be my take. And then the Bucks signed Gio Bernard. How do they find the money for that? That seems pretty crazy. And that's my take. And there you go. That's all I got on this because – we ate up all the time on Mraz naming his daughter O.C. So. Mraz wanted to name his daughter Jeffrey Mayer Mraz. What, Danielle? Start of a dynasty. And Bob was like, I don't know. Nancy, I like it. I think it'll work. Nancy, I don't see what's wrong with O.C. I don't see it.
Suddenly, Peyton seems pretty perfect, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Peyton is the most actually logical and civil thing that you could have named your daughter.
What, you don't like Graham Lloyd Mirage?
Maybe I'll have a son later on in life. I'll name him John Fox Mirage. I don't know.
Go with Jorge for your favorite author, the lone book you've ever read.
Named her Peyton after his favorite Giants offense. Like, he had a list. Here's the 25 Giants offenses over my lifetime that I've come to grow and love. Number one, 2000, offensive coordinator Sean Payton. Honey, what do you think about Sean Payton Moretz? Well, it was my favorite offense, of course. Not my favorite team, just my favorite offense.
Wasn't the Jason Garrett offense?
Peyton Armstead Moretz.
That's not bad, actually. Maybe we'll switch the middle name.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Are Patriots fans crazy for assuming Julian Edelman will be in the Hall of Fame one day? 74% of you say yes. 74% say yes. You people are crazy. Edelman was a good player, but not a Hall of Famer. Some fun facts for Pats fans. The Bears scored 21 third quarter points in their Super Bowl 20 romp over the Patriots. The Patriots had the number one pick of the 82 draft. They took defensive end Kenneth Sims. That draft had Marcus Allen, Andre Tippett, who they eventually got, Jim McMahon and Mike Munchak all in it. And the Pats have never defeated the Giants in the Super Bowl. That is your advanced analytics. Speaking of a former Patriot, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had signed Gio Bernard yesterday, which is interesting because they do still have Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette as well. So they're tripling down on veteran running backs, although Fournette's relatively young. But Gio didn't have a lot of football maybe left in him, but a good change of pace back, had a decent career in Cincinnati. They just keep adding veteran pieces on the cheap. I wonder if this deal is also a really inexpensive one for the Buccaneers, but it's kind of a classic Bucs thing now, is to get cheap veteran pieces to just kind of slide around the perimeter of this roster, and it'll be Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones, and also Gio Bernard. So a good fit, I think, even though Bernard has not cracked 500 yards in a season in well over 5 years. But he's also 30 years old. Who knows? Probably be limited snaps, but enough to get him at least interested in joining. Apparently the Chiefs were also interested in him as well. Also, that Pelican story is interesting because can you imagine somebody as big as Zion Williamson running point? Stan Van Gundy, after two explosive games for Zion, who's turning into one of the best players in basketball. This guy is 6'7". He can dunk like a freight train, obviously. Runs like the wind. And on Sunday, in a win over the Cavaliers, had 38, 9, and 4 assists. That followed up his Friday night performance against the Sixers, which was 37, 15, and 8. So Zion had 37, 15, and 8, followed up by 38, 9, and 4. 12 of 6 assists in those two games. And Van Gundy says, I could see him run the point for us. I think that is where his future is in this game. And I just think it's an amazing compliment to Zion that he's not just a dunker, but that he's also so good with the ball, bringing it up the floor, that his head coach could think, man, he could be our point guard. And think about how athletic and huge and ferocious he is. He's averaging 26, 7, and 4 assists per game from the field this year. I mean, talk about a guy that has made a very quick leap into being a dominant force is Zion, who's just doing things that nobody can do at his size. Nobody has ever done. I mean, could you imagine Charles Barkley running the point back in the day? But that's kind of what they're asking him to do, and understandably so, because he's that talented. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning as we get the news that Netflix and Adam Sandler's films are producing a movie about Sean Payton's life the year he was suspended from the NFL and had to coach his sixth grade son's football team. Here's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I don't think Happy Madison Productions with Kevin James is the right production team to make this movie, right? Like, we are expecting, well, who's going to be Sean Payton's wife? Is Jennifer Aniston or Drew Barrymore? They're going to parachute in like every Adam Sandler movie. Rob Schneider, do it again! You know, we're going to have that whole thing going on in the movie.
You can do it! You can do it all night long!
We've done this. I mean, we've had the Waterboy, we've had the Longest Yard. We get the Adam Sandler football movie bit, and this is not going to be any different. Where if another, you know, another Universal or somebody made this movie, I think it makes for a better story.
So you can totally see where this thing goes. Where absolutely Rob Schneider is the rambunctious fan in the stands, like an overprotective dad or something.
Johnny McEnroe! Oh, look at DJ hanging out with McEnroe! That's awesome!
I love the Beach Boys.
And he's yelling from the stands about this sixth grade football team. And Peter Dante, who's in all of Adam Sandler's films in some way, shape, or form, he is going to end up being like the coach of the opposing team that they have to meet up with in the championship that's like their antagonist. And you just see all of the same roles that are coming through.
This is the best day of my life!
There's Shaq and Dan Patrick will be the refs. There's no doubt about it. David Spade running the defense.
Right, yes. David Spade is like the aging womanizer that hasn't ever been married, that's still hitting on like kids' moms throughout the entire season. Steve Buscemi is the groundskeeper, right? The crazy groundskeeper that has one crazy eye that's rooting for the little.
I'm doing a one-nighter for biting Ed the mailman. The guy was trying to cast a spell on me, you know, like a wizard or something.
Warriors to do it.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Let us welcome a brand new CBS Sports Radio affiliate in Wichita, the legendary KFH, 1240 AM and 97.5 FM. They are carrying the DA show and CBS Sports Radio throughout the day. They're carrying all 4 hours. So locally in Wichita, we are going to be on 5 to 9 AM Central Time each and every morning, Monday through Friday. Gotta love it. They also carry Kansas City Royals baseball. We are looking forward to having them as part of the CBS Sports Radio family. Love being back out in the mighty Midwest. Hopefully trying to get back out there perhaps sometime soon to visit some friends and family in the Kansas City area. Wichita, welcome to the DA Show's experience each and every morning. 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. That'll wrap things up for a Target Demo Friday this morning, everybody. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show and CBS Sports Radio's newest father of two girls. Also thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Join us tomorrow morning, won't you? Kevin Harvick's going to drop on by. The mothership disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.